Bob Gerald, son of the G-Man, and BaselineSpin.com. And, Bob, we were just talking about all of the rumors that are flying around with that third pick. And I'll pose to you the same question that we asked Scott Howard Cooper earlier on. We know Brandon Ingram and Ben Simmons are the top players in the draft. Who's the third?
That is a good question, and great to be on with you guys. I enjoy your show.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. In my opinion, it would be Chris Dunn at this point. I think I don't think there's a huge separation there, and I think there's some different guys that you might want to take a big swing on. But with the third pick, I mean, I just think Chris Dunn looks like an NBA point guard. He defends. I think that's one of the, you know, the big keys. I don't think he's maybe going to be as good as some people are making him out to be. I'm not sure that this is a transcendent type player who's going to be a multiple time all-star, but I do think he's going to be a good starter in the NBA at some point. So, I mean, I would lean Chris Dunn.
And Bob, would you say this is a good draft class, above average, average, below average? I mean, overall, what's your perception of the group that's going to the draft tonight?
I think that it's decent at the top of the draft, and then I think it has some depth to it as far as, you know, there are going to be some roster maker guys. I think there'll be some guys that aren't drafted that will end up making teams like there is every year, but this year maybe more so than we've seen in the past. There's definitely some guys in, you know, in the second round that I like that other people aren't talking about. So, you know, we'll see. You know how it is with the draft. You can't really tell until 3, 4, 5 years down the line, you know, what really happened. One of the things I like to do on my website and on my blog is tomorrow, you know, after this draft, I'm going to break down like the 2012 draft. Everybody else wants to break down the 2016 draft the day after the draft, and I just think that's silly. I mean, you know, we no one has any idea what's going to happen. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be trades. There's going to be all kinds of things that are going to go on in the next 3 or 4 years with these guys. And you know, smart people make mistakes in the draft. Some smart people make really good decisions in the draft, but you know, even Daryl Morey drafted Royce White in 2012 and used the 17th pick in the draft on him. So, you know, there are smart guys that are going to make some mistakes too.
All right, Bob, let's bring it on home. You've done all the research, all the analysis. What is the best way the Sacramento Kings can utilize pick number 8?
Well, if I was running things over there, and don't I wish, but you know, I would have made a big trade some time ago. You know, I'm a big picture guy, and I don't think the Kings are ready, even with DeMarcus being as good as he is. I just don't think they're ready to compete in the West against the Golden State Warriors, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, you can go on down the line, the Portland Trailblazers for that matter. So, you know, if it were up to me, and I know this is a whole different conversation, but I would be trying to move DeMarcus and think about the future. I think that the arena is actually something that could buy you time. The Golden One Center is this shiny new building that's going to be something that's a curiosity factor for a lot of Sacramentans, and I think they'll come out there and support any team that comes out and plays hard and has a bunch of good guys. So even if you lose a little bit, and you know that would probably be, you know, what would likely happen, I still think the arena would buy you time. You know, so again, that's a conversation for later. I think that it's pretty clear that they're going to stick with DeMarcus. So with that in mind, my next plan would probably be to trade down if possible. And I don't know if that's something they've looked into, but I really like a kid, Bryce Johnson from North Carolina. You know, I saw that Thaddeus Young was traded today. And I heard you guys saying earlier, you know, did the Kings inquire? And for the 20th pick, you know, Bryce Johnson, I hate comparisons, but he does remind me a little bit of Thaddeus Young. I think, you know, Bryce doesn't shoot the three yet, but I think he will in time because he has actually some pretty good touch on his shot. And so that'll be something that comes around. But he's just a pogo stick. He's so athletic, such a great rebounder. He runs in transition. And right now I think the consensus says that a guy like Bryce Johnson might not get picked until late in the first round. So I'd try to maneuver and get me a Bryce Johnson. If that doesn't happen and we have the eighth pick, then it's going to come down to who's there. And if Jaylen Brown ends up being the guy, like it sounds like to me, like he's probably going to be the guy, I'd be okay with that. I think he's a super intelligent kid that's athletic, can play defense, has the size to defend in the NBA. And, you know, he has some things to work on, but all these guys have holes.
You mentioned trading down, Bob. What about trading up? They've been there's been reports out there that they've been talking to Boston along with Philadelphia and a couple other teams about that third pick.
What do you guys think, though? I mean, what if we were if the Kings were trying to trade up, what would they have to give up to get that third pick? I mean, in my estimation, I don't think there's anyone on the Kings other than Cousins, and it'd have to be a big package then. You know, if I was going to trade DeMarcus, I'd want the number three pick this year. I'd want that Brooklyn pick that Boston has. You know,
I'd have to imagine it's something simpler, like it's a pick swap plus.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's McLemore or it's Darren Collison or it's something along those lines, and then they can go get Chris Dunn.
Yeah, and I still would be, you know, I'd wonder why Boston would want to do something like that. I mean, I don't know what Boston would want with Darren Collison or Ben McLemore at this point because they're already loaded with guards.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting. Danny Ainge certainly holds a lot of cards in this draft coming up, and it's going to be interesting to see. He's done a good job of just stockpiling.
Yeah, no doubt. Bob, on your website, by the way, baselinespin.com, that's where you write. You evaluate with your own thought. That's not really weighing other mock drafts. That's why it's interesting. You already referenced Bryce Johnson, who you have rated much higher than most. Another guy you have high on your list that is seemingly dropped but makes a lot of sense for, I think, any team. We've seen him play a lot in college, and that's Valentine from Michigan State. Would check a lot of boxes. Seemingly is dropping a little bit maybe because of his knees. But what do you like about him, and would he be a good fit here, especially if the Kings maybe did trade down?
Well, if your doctors feel good about Denzel Valentine, I would totally sign off on that. I like Denzel Valentine. I'm a little leery sometimes of the seniors, you know, in the NBA draft. If you look back at some of the guys, let's go back to the 2014 draft. There were seniors taken in the first round. Doug McDermott, Adrian Payne, Shabazz Napier, C.J. Wilcox, Josh Huestis. None of those guys. Now, I didn't have a high opinion really of any of those guys at that time as I do of Denzel Valentine. And to answer your question, yeah, he checks a lot of boxes. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me with him is just the vision and maturity that he plays with. You know, if you look at him, he improved as a shooter so much during his time at Michigan State. And you know that he was coached well and coached hard by Izzo. So I think there's a lot of positives there. I mean, the knee thing would worry me, but that's why, you know, the NBA teams have the doctors and the medical staff to get into that. Now, I understand that might be an issue for the Sacramento Kings because I guess some of the agents have been reluctant to share that information with the Kings. But and in Valentine, you're talking about a guy with an assist-to-turnover ratio well over 2-1, a defensive rating that was better than the Michigan team defensive rating. He can score, he can rebound, he makes his free throws, you know, over 40% as a three-point shooter, and he has size for the guard position. Now, the one thing you worry about there is he doesn't really have any elite athleticism until you wonder, you know, is this a guy who's maxed out? Is he going to look like, you know, Jared Dudley in about 5 or 6 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or is he going to stay after it and be a really good pro? And I tend to think that he is going to be a really good NBA player.
You know, Bob, you made a comment about how you assess the talent and how you're not in favor of some of the guys who may be seniors coming out. Even though you like Denzel Valentine, you don't normally like guys that are seniors. And we were talking about that earlier, how we don't understand that, why teams are more willing to pick up a one-and-done 19-year-old and teach this kid how to play basketball while you're paying him $10 million,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to going for someone who's developed at maybe a good school, whether it be North Carolina or Duke, that's been there for 4 years and has great fundamentals. Why do they shy away?
Yeah, no, and I agree with you in this particular instance this year. Like I was saying, you know, if you go back and look at some of the past seniors, okay, so let's look at last year's seniors that were drafted in the first round. Frank Kaminsky, you know, the jury's still out on Kaminsky. I think he's going to be pretty good. Jaren Grant, who just got traded. DeLon Wright, he didn't play at all for the Raptors. Larry Nance Jr., the jury's still out. I think he had a pretty good rookie season. In 2013, there was really only one. C.J. McCollum was the 10th pick. He was a senior taken, and certainly we love him. But the others were Mason Plumlee and Solomon Hill, and you're kind of like, eh. You know, so I think one thing that NBA teams usually miss on, and it's hard, it's easy to understand why it would happen, is they miss on some of the freak athletes that we know little bit about. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo went 15th in the 2013 draft, and there were other players taken, you know, ahead of him. You tell me, how would you, if we redid the 2013 draft right now, you got Antetokounmpo, Oladipo, C.J. McCollum, Dennis Schroeder, Rudy Gobert, Michael Carter-Williams. I mean, you know, that's kind of your top five or six there. Would any of you think that Antetokounmpo is the best of that group yet?
He's pretty close if he's not. He's
shown a lot.
Yeah, and he ended up going 15th just kind of because people didn't know about him, you know, and it was hard to predict where he was going to be. And, you know, so that's the age-old thing with the draft. It's, you know, do you go for the guy who's been productive throughout his college career, or do you go for a guy who you think has this upside? And it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of debates like that, even at the top of the draft. You know, Jason and I were discussing this the other day, Buddy Hield or Jamal Murray. And I think it's really close. I mean, I could be swayed either way with both of those guys. They're both great shooters. Buddy Hield right now, I think, is the better player today. But Buddy Hield as a freshman was nowhere close to what Jamal Murray was as a freshman at Kentucky this year.
Yeah, it feels like when you start talking about all those players, you could really lump them all together.
Yeah, I agree. Buddy Hield and Jamal Murray are better players right now today than Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. But I think Jaylen Brown has a higher upside because of his athleticism and his ability to defend. You know, that's one thing that worries me a little bit with Murray and Hield. Both of them had defensive ratings that were worse than their team defensive ratings. That's something that I've really kind of keyed in on the last few years. It's been almost a breakthrough, if you will, as far as the way I've researched the draft. And it's something that I've done for years and years now. And that was one of the key elements that I was missing for a long time, was really looking at, you know, defense is half the game. It really is. And it's any way you slice it. And people forget that and they don't look at it. And if you were watching the NBA playoffs and the NBA finals, you know, Golden State doesn't get to the finals without Andre Iguodala doing what he did on Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant still got his, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Durant was brilliant, but Iguodala had, you know, there was a handful of possessions there when it really mattered, where Iguodala shut him down or did just enough to disrupt him that Golden State was able to prevail. And I don't think they could do that without Andre Iguodala. So, you know, defense, you can never, I don't think, you know, look past that.
Bobby, there seems to be, like we've all said, a tier two after Simmons and Ingram. The Kings are in that second tier. And a name that keeps coming up, but that you rated lower, and I'd be curious why. Mm-hmm. What about Bender? You've put Bender farther down than most. Why is that?
So I have Dragan Bender 15th on my board right now, and that's actually giving him more credit than I've been wanting to give him. I look at him, and again, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'm not going to try to fake the funk at all. I have not seen Dragan Bender play, you know, three or four to six or seven games the way I have all these college guys. So I've seen Bender. I actually subscribe to a couple of things, Eurobasket.com, where you are allowed to get on there and watch some complete games. But, I mean, he's a guy who plays 14, 15 minutes a game. So it's very hard to project. But one of the things that really worries me about him is he's not an athlete at all. I mean, his max vert is 27.5 inches. And to give you a comparable, that's a half or an inch and a half less than Jeff Withey jumps. So, you know, again, running and jumping isn't everything, but it is something in the NBA. So now he's also...
Yeah, it's kind of important in this league, right?
he has a feel for the game. There's no doubt about that. He runs hard and he can finish in transition. And if you were going to say, okay, Dragan Bender's a small forward offensively and he has those kind of skills, I can buy that, actually, when I watch him and look at the numbers. But defensively, I don't think he would stand a chance of guarding wings in the NBA, at least not at this point. So now you're talking about him as a big. And, you know, you're talking about him as a big at 215 pounds. To me, there's just a lot of gray area there. And I think that a lot of people, one of the things that I take pride in is I call it independent thought. I'm one that tries to never be swayed by the mass media or the herd. I'm curious. I always want to look into it myself and try to find out, you know, are they blowing me some smoke here? And I just think there's such a buzz after Porzingis having a successful season that a lot of people want to say, hey, he's the best guy from Europe. He's the next Porzingis. Well, really, there's a lot of differences in their games. Porzingis is a lot more athletic. He had played at a higher level. He was playing more at a higher level than Bender is. So, it's
but
not
you,
that
see
I
that he's 7'1". You see that he's 7'1" and he can shoot. So you just go, well, we don't want to miss out on the next Porzingis. So we got to draft this guy.
Right, but Darko Milicic was 7'1" and could shoot too.
Yeah, that didn't go too well either. Yeah.
No, it didn't. And there've been other guys too, you know, that are big that can shoot. I mean, Brad Lohaus was 7'1" and could shoot. Maybe he wasn't 7'1", but you know, we could go through you know, a series of guys. I do a lot of auto racing announcing, and one of the analogies that I bring over from auto racing is this: is, you know, one of the things they do before a race is they time trial guys, and you're out there on the track by yourself making one lap. And a lot of times the guys who have the fastest times out there on the racetrack by themselves are not necessarily the guys who win the race. You know, how do you react in traffic? You know, can you pass guys? Are you comfortable with someone leaning on you underneath? Are you going to be able to mash the pedal up on the high groove of the racetrack? And that's the same thing in basketball. I mean, are you going to fight through a pick set by DeMarcus Cousins? Are you going to, you know, you're going to be able to bang? You're going to be able to take a coach yelling at you? You're going to be able to take a teammate yelling at you? Because those things are going to happen in the NBA.
As we are...
We're familiar with.
Yeah.
We're familiar with that here.
Now, here's the thing. The great thing about what you've been doing, Bob, is you've given us so much information that I'm done. I've got all the information I need on basketball. I'm good. But I'm sticking on your site. I'm on baselinespin.com, and you have three links here, and one of them is music.
Oh, yeah. Bobby loves music.
But you haven't done anything in a while on there, buddy.
I haven't. This is true.
But I like everything.
He's a little busy. The draft is coming up on Thursday.
He's got categories for everything. 100 great albums, concert, live show reviews, favorite five, deep, hip-hop, slow
jams. That's
in
your wheelhouse.
Okay, so let's get to what's really important, Bob. Greatest album of all time is?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
So you were ready for all the draft questions. You weren't ready for that.
I was. I probably leaned towards Parade by Prince and the Revolution. That was... I think I really like Prince in that era where you had Claire Fisher doing the strings and Wendy and Lisa were all a part of the thing. He started to incorporate horns into his sound at that time. So it's right there with me, but I'm a Prince freak. So it's 1999, Purple Rain, Parade, it's all in there. I love D'Angelo.
Yeah.
D'Angelo's Voodoo would be right in there for me.
See, I would put Sign of the Times ahead of Parade / Under the Cherry Moon.
I love Sign of the Times, too. Yeah, I mean, don't get it twisted. I mean, again, Prince. I mean, come on.
Right, he can do no wrong.
We're talking lottery picks here.
Right, he can do no wrong. By the way, did you get the last album? Did you get Third Eye Girl?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great album.
I've seen Prince over 20 times. I have everything.
It's a great
album.
Hey,
fellas.
Oh, what's up?
We're going to wrap this up, okay?
No.
Y'all can take this little Prince love fest.
How about you guys take a break? Bobby and I will sit here and talk about this. And just wrap this up.
The purple hour here as we get ready for the draft. And
I've never met anyone else who knows as much Prince as I do.
You want draft Prince albums?
Oh, yes.
Well, we could have a draft with you two guys.
Hey,
what's up,
definitely
brother?
Definitely could. That would be a show.
We'll do that then. We'll do that next time.
There's going to be a lot of free time with basketball over and hockey over and nothing but mid-season baseball coming up. We could have a Prince draft.
You want to do it, Bob? Let's do it.
Let's definitely do it. Right, and hey, we've got basketball now. July 3rd, I think the Orlando Summer League starts, so it's not that far away.
That's very true. Free agency opens up, plenty to talk about, and we'll have you back on to break it all down then. Bob, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much, my man.
Love the show, guys. Thanks.
We appreciate you.
Thanks, buddy.
Bob Gerald, baselinespin.com.